This is back to this Mishpatei HaTorah that we used last year in the Zikin. So he has a case like this. There was someone who was working for an employee, for an employer. The employer said, I'm going to pay you such and such amount of money, plus I'm going to pay this amount for your travel expenses. You can imagine a case where, let's say, there was a hashgacha job, and the employer said, you have to go to Pennsylvania, and you're getting paid your hourly pay, plus you're getting $200 for travel expenses. Or if it's even local and the plant is further away from where people live, and they say, look, you take a cab and I'm paying you travel expenses. Okay, so the deal was the employer had agreed to pay travel expenses. Reuven's the employer. He told Shimon he would give him his travel expenses, and Shimon decided, instead of taking the transportation which Reuven thought he would take, which he had paid him for, Shimon decided to walk. He decided to start earlier, and he walked to save himself those travel expenses, and figuring that he'd get a windfall, he'd get that few hundred extra dollars that had been designated for travel expenses. He thought, so I'll walk, I'll get it for, you know, there for nothing, I'll hitchhike, I'll get this somehow, and that way I'll gain the travel expenses. And Reuven says, look, I only gave you that money figuring that you're going to take the normal transportation, like, you know, I thought that you'd take the train, you'd do something like that, but not that you would walk or that, you know, you would hitchhike. So who's right? You're not. Okay, so let's see a source. The source is not a choshen mishpat, so that's why we're not going to have to deal with skiers here. It's a big chiddush that I didn't have a chance to see anyone. I looked a little bit, but I couldn't find anyone, but this is a very shvitzis chiddush to bring a raya from a Mishnah in Ksuvis. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about a case where, for some reason, the husband has to go out of town, and he's not there with his wife, so the chiyuv, the chacham or mechayev, that he should give a certain amount of food every week to his wife. Hamashas ishto ayde shalish, if he's giving food to his wife through a third party, so the Mishnah tells you what a woman needs per week, what a person needs per week. He shouldn't give her less than 2 cobs of wheat, or 4 cobs of the measure of barley. Rav Yossi says barley's only by Rav Yishmoel. He lived in Edom where they had a lot of barley. He has to give her a certain amount of beans, a certain amount of oil and figs. Right, the Rambam says it simpler. He says bread and meat. Right, the poskim ask, the Erech Shai and Eben Ezer ask, why is the Rambam saying different? But, you know, the bottom line is the husband has to leave, and this is what the poskim say, depending on the time and the place, enough food for his wife to eat per week. Now what happens if there is food left at the end of the week? So the Gemara on Samech Yamidei says a simple brayse, Tanur Rabbanan, Moser Mezonos Labal. The leftover food belongs to the husband. Right? If it ends up being too much, the amount listed in the Mishnah is too much for the woman to eat. Let's see what Rashi says. Kagon Isha Shemazonos Hamurim Bimishosena, a woman who the food that's mentioned in our Mishnah, Otunla, is too much for her. Shenirav Sonis. She's not that hungry a person, right? She's small. She has a small appetite. She doesn't eat so much food. So where's the extra food go to? So the Brisa makes a lot of sense. You know, the whole Takana was this is amount what a woman leaves, a husband has to make sure she's left with her food. But if she doesn't eat so much food, so then the leftover belongs to the husband. Tosfos has a little bit of a different reason. Tosfos in Nazir says that why is it that the husband gets the extra food? It's he says the case is talking where, or is he just saying what the case is different? He's saying the case was that there was a certain amount of money left per week, and then the price of food went down, so now there's extra money. So that extra money, the same logic as Rashi's saying. She doesn't need that much money because the price of food went down. So the gain in the money belongs to the woman. Right, to the husband. That's what Tosfos says. The Rama says that if the woman was Tzimtzuma, she ended up not using all the money. or all the food, and some of the food was left, who shall baal, the husband keeps that food, that money. So there's an interesting tshuva from the Tshuva Me'Avla. He's a Talmud of the Noda Yehuda. And in fact, this tshuva, he wrote to the Noda Yehuda asking his Rebbe whether he thought that this was a right thing. He didn't like the fact that the Ramah Paskins Tzimtzuma. Right? The Ramah said Tzimtzuma means, the Pashup Shan in Tzimtzuma means that, like I translated, cut back. Meaning she decided to go hungry. She said, I'll fast once a week, so that way I'll save that food. Right? And she needs that. Normal people wouldn't use that amount every day, and she decided to fast once a week, or to buy less, or to somehow be hungry. And still the Ramah says, the husband gets that extra food. The Tshuva Me'Avla was asked about such a case, a similar case. His case was a similar case where the husband has sent food, and he says, first glance, I look at this Ramah, and the Ramah says that if she saved money and leftover food, the husband gets it. And he writes that no one says anything about that. So, just interesting the way he says it. He says that the Marsha says that you're not allowed to paskin from a Mishnah. The Gemara and Sota says those people are mevali olam, they destroy the world if they just paskin shailos based on a Mishnah, because you have to see what the Gemara says. Right? That's what the Marsha says on the Pshat and the Mishnah, Gemara and Sota. So the Tshuva Me'Avla is the same thing nowadays. He says, and these generations, people are going paskin from the Shulchan Aruch. You can't just paskin from the Shulchan Aruch. You have to know the reason behind it. So you look at the Shulchan Aruch and it says, oh, she cut back, she penny pinched, and she went hungry, and she didn't use up all the food. The husband gets it. He says, I don't think the Ramah means that, or I don't think the Ramah is correct if that's what he means. Because first of all, he brings Rashi. He said, what's pshat in the Gemara? The Gemara, the source of the Ramah is the Gemara. The Gemara said that if there's leftover food, it belongs to the husband. So Rashi said the case of leftover food was that she doesn't have a big appetite. She doesn't need the food. But if she would need the food, and she just went hungry, we don't see that. And Tosfos also. Tosfos said that we're talking where the price of food went down. She didn't do anything to, like you said, to earn it. Right? She didn't do anything. The price of food went down. And in fact, he quotes Tosfos, I didn't say in the beginning, but at the end of the Tosfos says that if it was lohu's lamazonos, that the price of food did not go down, ela kimso pichsa mipia, she cut back and put less in her mouth, shelo achla kadei sova, she didn't eat enough to satisfy herself, daharu mosar havevadidida, she would certainly keep that mosar. Right, so the Tshuva Me'Avla says that Tosfos makes a chiluk. Tosfos makes a distinction between why there's leftover food. If the leftover food is through no effort of her own, the price of food went down. Or she just doesn't eat so much food like the Chachamim established for a woman, so then the husband gets it. It gets that extra. But if she went hungry to have that surplus, so Tosu says she could get it. So the Tshuva Me'Avla stops the Tshuva in the middle because he says the post is going out, and this is the day in the week that it goes out, and he didn't want to wait another week, so he stopped the tshuva right there. So the Noda Yehuda wrote back in Siman Pei, the Noda Yehuda writes back that, you know, I'm glad to have such a Talmud, you said right. He heard that chiluk, and the Noda Yehuda on Eben HaEzer says pshat in the Ramah, it's on the other side, the Dolgum Revava is the Noda Yehuda. He says when the Ramah says Tzimtzuma, that means Haina Shekonta Dazal. That means she found deals, she found sales. Like Tosfos says, the price went down, she found sales. Avim Kimta Meisasa. But if she ate less, for Achla Pachos Misava, she ate less than it takes to satisfy her, then it's Hushala, then she keeps that extra. So in this case, it seems that most of us will agree with this. the Pesach Shuvah brings the Shuvah Me'avo, the Beis Meir says a similar thing, that it depends on why the food is extra. If it's extra through no effort of the woman, the price went down, or she just doesn't need it, she's not a big eater, so then the Gemara says, that's when the Gemara means the husband keeps it, and that's what the Ramah means also according to the Dogla Mervava. But if it's something that she really does need, and she worked and went hungry, she fasted, that she shouldn't need that extra, so then the halacha is that she keeps it. And what's the pshat? He says that in the Nodav Yehuda's Shuvah, he says that Avayim B'tziva, it's B'tzimtzima, if she cut back the Sovla Ra'avon and she had a burden of hunger, the Dochak, and she was really pressed, Yecholah Hiloma, she could tell the husband, Shebishvil Atzma Asas Hakein, she did this work for herself. I'm sorry, that was your... It was for herself she did this. Velosha Yizka Babaila, not that her husband should earn it. I worked for myself, not for my husband. This was my effort. I wasn't putting this effort out for my husband. I was doing it for myself. I'm the one that went hungry. If she didn't go hungry, so then the husband says, give me the extra back. I didn't give you that amount. So just spend. I gave it for your food. You don't need it. Fine. But if she went and she earned it by cutting back, by going hungry, so then she would earn it. So how does that have to do with Chosh and Mishpat? So Rabbi Spitz says that the same rule should apply over here. But why? But we see from Eben Ha'ezer, from this thing, that if I use extra effort, extra tircha, to gain extra money that was set aside for me, so then I keep it. So he says like this. If I went and, much like Dov said, if just the price of the ticket went down, it was $200 less that day, so that money goes to the employer. But if I decided to go to the extra effort of hitchhiking and walking or doing different things, standing out in the rain, he even says, you know, to wait for a second flight or going a roundabout flight, though not a direct flight, putting in extra effort. So in that case, I've earned that money. If there's no extra effort on my part, so then just like the husband keeps the extra, so here also the Baal HaBos would keep the extra. But he asks the question, he says, maybe it's not such a good analogy. He says, by the case of the woman, the Chachamim said, as soon as you marry a woman, you have to pay her food. Whether you're there, when you're there, so then you don't have the whole thing. But you're supporting her, you're giving her the money to go shopping. And when you're away, so there's this Takana, you have to leave a certain amount aside every week. That's when you get married, you have to make sure she has a certain amount of food. So now when, you know, it's like automatic. Now when she doesn't eat so much, so then I can hear it goes back to the husband because she didn't need it. But by an employer where I said, I'm giving you this money for a travel allowance and you didn't use it, so what? It was through no effort. I said I was going to give it to you, or he says the other way. Even if you put in effort, the woman put in effort to go hungry once a week. So the Chachamim said she deserves a certain amount every week. Right, that's why he asks the question that way. Right, if the woman puts in effort, the Chachamim says she gets a certain amount every week, either for her food or for her effort. Now she did effort, so she gets money for her effort. But there's no Takonas Chachamim. The Chachamim didn't say, well, everyone that has an employee has to pay his travel expenses, and if you know he finds some way of putting out an effort, he'll get the money like that. But we don't see that anywhere. We don't see that a person should get paid like that. Right, that's what he asks, but he says, so what? So you don't see it. But the logic is the same. We see from the case of the woman that when a person puts out effort, he could say that I did it for, she's saying, I did it for myself and not for my husband. So same thing, an employee can say, when I put out effort, I'm doing it for myself and not for my employer. And I hear the question a little bit better than his answer. I was like, this case I said before with the chasana. Right, I'm giving you the money to fly to the chasana because I'd like you to be there. And you decided that you're going to drive and use the extra tircha to drive. And can we say, does it make sense to say that? Yeah, I don't mind giving you. You're coming to my chasana. I'm giving you $200 as a present. So either you use it for the money or not. It's a present for you to come and you know, through your effort you earn it like that. I don't hear that so well, right? And I don't see the difference between that case and in a case where there's an employer. You know, to me, if you want to limit, what are we talking about? I don't think we need to be talking about an employer. The woman's not an employee. We're talking about, do I earn the right to a certain money promised to me if I do effort? I say, well, the effort was for myself and not for the other person. So I have $200 coming to me if I fly to the chasana and pay for the plane. But if I don't take a plane, do I still have the right to take the $200? I don't think that's what the chasana meant. And the case of the employer, I don't know if that's what the employer meant. So Rabbi Spitz makes he himself makes a difference. He says that, you see on the bottom, right? He says, I'll pay your travel expenses. Right? That's the case we're talking about. I'll pay your travel expenses. But suppose he says, this money is for your travel. Or he says, bring me the receipts and then I'll reimburse you, or I'm giving you this money, but I need the receipts because I'm going to write it off for my records. So then we know clearly that the employer meant it for the travel, and it doesn't get into this case of Ebenezer. He admits that we're only talking a case where an employer said, I'm giving you this money for your travel expenses. And he didn't say, right. There's no way out. That he's agreeing. His case is where he didn't say that. The employer just said, I'm giving you this amount for your travel. Right? Including the job, I pay $50 an hour, plus since I'm so far out of the way, I give $100 for a travel allowance. Right? That's why he said it. And the employee decides, well, I found a cheap way to do it, so I'm going to keep the $100. Did the employer really mean in that case also that he should keep it? But he has one last kasha. He has a kasha like this. There's a Mishnah in Ksuvos that says, if a person married a woman and he agreed that he would feed her daughter from previous marriage for 5 years. Right, that was part of the tanoim, that he would feed that daughter for 5 years, and then he ended up divorcing her. Then she married a third husband, and that husband also agreed that he would feed the daughter for 5 years. So husband number two comes along and says, so I don't have to feed your daughter anymore. You have someone else feeding the daughter, husband number three. So the Gemara says that she gets money from both. The daughter is allowed to get money from the husband number two and from husband number three. So Rabbi Spitz says, so it would seem the same thing over here, right? We should say, even if the worker didn't put any effort in, right? The worker didn't do any effort. The employer promised to give him $200 for travel allowance. And then he got the travel somewhere else. He got a free flight somehow. Yes, a friend that gave him a free flight. That should be no different than this daughter now getting her food from a new person, and still the second husband has to keep on paying. So why do we say, maybe we should say, he says, that even if there is no effort put forth, the fact that I'm getting my service done somewhere else or for free shouldn't make a difference. So how would you answer that, Kasha?
between the two of them and the daughter.
He emphasizes more the case of the wife. Look at this woman. She got married, and she said, "I'll marry you on a certain condition." Right? That's what I want. I want a certain amount of money. Then she married someone else, and she also made a condition. I want a certain amount of money. So no one would say, well, she has to give the money back to the second husband when she gets money from the third husband. She married one with a certain condition, and then she married another one with a certain condition. So the same thing is, and the condition isn't a lump sum of money. She says, I want you to support my daughter for 5 years. That's what I want as part of my agreement to marry you. Then she goes and marries someone else. So she says, look, I'm marry you. That's a different case, but I'm willing to marry you if you support my daughter for 5 years. So she earned it twice by making two deals with these two husbands. But in the case of the employer only meant, or the case in the Ksuvas where he agreed to pay the money, he only meant to give him the money for his travel expenses. If he chooses not to use if he doesn't need the money for the travel expenses, right, he finds a way that without any effort, right, that just it ends up being free or the prices go down. So he didn't make two deals over there. So he remains with his halacha that if the, first of all, once again, if it was specific, it was explicit that I want the receipts and this is only for your travel expenses, so then there's nothing to talk about. But if it was a little wishy-washy, and like it could very well be, this is for your travel expenses, and they did, without specifying only just for that, nothing for else, and not for anything else, so then he concludes that if the person, the employee, got there without any extra effort, just the price went down, or just his neighbor ended up deciding to go there with the car, he doesn't need to take the cab anymore, so then he can't take the money from the employer. If he exerted effort, he did some work to avoid he did effort that he shouldn't need that money, so then he could say, I work for myself, not for you. You agreed to pay me the certain amount of travel allowance that I should get here. I got here my own way, through my own efforts, and I still should be able to keep that money. That is his conclusion.